We're now joined by Lindsay Crusan-Muse, who is the director of the Sexual Assault and Crime Victims Assistance Program at SACVAP. We are so glad to have you in the studio today, Lindsay.
Good Welcome. Evening. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Lindsay, could you just start off by telling us about what SACVAP is and, you know, kind of the general, what you do, where you're located?
Absolutely. So I am the director of the Sexual Assault and Crime Victims Assistance Program, which is a department within St. Peter's Health Partners. But we are located here in Troy, right across the street from Samaritan Hospital. And we provide free and confidential services to folks who are victims and survivors of various crimes, including their loved ones, so both primary victims and secondary victims. And we also work very hard to engage in community prevention efforts. So we're actually hoping with our prevention education program to put our direct service program out of business at some point in time.
Wow, that's really, really ambitious.
Yes, that's our hope. That's our vision.
I love it. I love it. So talk about what, you know, that preventative step is and how you go about preventing these crimes.
Sure. We are very fortunate in our program. We're funded entirely by grants, but we are very lucky to have four prevention educators in our program who go out and they work with school communities, both at the kind of elementary and middle school level, also at the high school level, and then with colleges to really educate students about not just, you know, kind of approaching it from a don't do this to other people kind of framework, but really from a bystander intervention model, basically challenging our community to stand up and say, we're not going to tolerate various forms of violence within our community here in Rensselaer County. And then we also work with community organizations to really work with adults to kind of create that same culture. So we really believe that it's not a victim's issue. It's not a perpetrator issue. It's really a community issue.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, it's Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes.
And some people may feel like sexual assault or physical abuse doesn't necessarily have anything to do with mental health. Can you kind of explain the connection between those things?
Absolutely. So we really believe that there are multiple ways in which mental health and victimization are connected. First and foremost, folks who are victimized or who are survivors of various forms of violence, including sexual assault, domestic violence, kind of any physical violence, they are at an increased risk for developing certain mental health conditions, including things like post-traumatic stress disorder, dealing with substance abuse issues, depression, anxiety. So really, we feel that those are very linked. And that's part of what we do in our program is provide mental health counseling and therapeutic services to support survivors specifically around the trauma of their victimization and help them work through some of those issues that they're dealing with. Additionally, unfortunately, folks who do choose to perpetrate these kinds of crime often target people who are vulnerable. It's never, ever a victim's fault if they are victimized in any way. Never. But unfortunately, people who perpetrate these crimes are very savvy, and they look for people who may have mental health issues. Some studies have actually shown that folks who have severe mental health disorders and illnesses are at up to a 5-time increased risk of being sexually assaulted. So it's very, very, very important that we're not only educating the community about bystander intervention, but that we are putting things in place to protect people who are vulnerable, and then providing responsive services to help people when they are victimized.
That's wonderful. I'm really glad that you explained that. So I know that you guys have, in kind of staying with the, you know, the assisting people who are experiencing something traumatic thing, I know you guys have crisis hotline volunteers. Can you talk about what that is and what they do?
Yes, we are blessed with the most amazing core of volunteers. So folks who are interested in helping support survivors can actually volunteer for about 36 hours a month by going through a training with us and then working as counselors on our 24-hour crisis hotline. And that hotline is there for anyone. Anyone can call. It doesn't have to be someone who's a crime victim. Someone can call for more information for a loved one or a friend or, you know, if someone is in crisis and they need assistance. And our volunteers staff that hotline on holidays, weekends, and overnight shifts. Always supervised by one of our full-time staff. And then sometimes they even go into the hospital when a person who may have been sexually assaulted or a victim of domestic violence goes to the hospital for treatment. And we actually go in and we work with them one-on-one at all hours of the night. So it's really an amazing service, an amazing way for people to give back to their community And really, just so important for survivors to know that they're not alone. And not only are there professionals doing this work to help them and support them, but there's also community members who give their time to show them that there is support for them.
Of course, of course. I know that there's like this, you know, really cool training aspect of becoming a crisis hotline volunteer. How does that work? What kind of things do you guys cover?
Our volunteer training is, as I mentioned, about 40 hours long, and we cover a variety of topics. Obviously, very important ones include things like crisis intervention and counseling. We use a psychological first aid model. We also talk a lot about kind of perpetrator behavior and motivation, but then we get into some specific populations that we might see. So we in our program, we actually serve a fair number of men who are survivors of sexual assault. We think it's really important to identify that, so we do a specific training on working with male survivors, working with folks who are maybe college students who are victimized, because that's a very specific system. So we also have a staff member. Her primary role is working with survivors who have disabilities. And so we do some training on those specific areas because we want for our volunteers, just as our staff are, to be prepared to support and work with any survivor who comes through the hotline or through the doors at the emergency department.
How is there a peer aspect of the SACFAC program? Are there peers available there that have experienced these things that people can talk to?
Absolutely. So we don't necessarily do a kind of self-disclosure as kind of professionals working in the program, because we feel that that takes the kind of focus off of survivors and sharing what they've been through with us. But I will say that many of our clients have gone on after they've kind of received treatment through us and done their healing journey to then come back and work with us on the hotline. So there's absolutely kind of a peer support piece of it, even if it's maybe not kind of formal and, you know, very, very kind of out there.
Right. But, you know, it's always important to have people around who have experienced it, because
yes,
obviously that voice is a different specific type of voice to have in the room.
Without a doubt. And actually, one way that we do accomplish that is by offering support groups. So in addition to our one-on-one counseling and therapeutic services, we also offer free and confidential support groups. And we have a variety. We have male survivor support groups. We have creative arts therapy groups, a general support group for women. We have lots of different groups. So they definitely can receive that kind of peer support in that setting.
It sounds like you guys have something for everyone. I saw on your website that you have like a phone donation program of some sort. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. So we accept used cell phones. So when someone is done with their cell phone plan or they're getting a new phone, you can actually donate it to our program. And we actually do a fair amount of work with seniors. So older adults who, you know, may require having a phone that they could utilize to call 911, but otherwise wouldn't have a reason to maybe have a cell phone plan. Or someone who is a survivor of domestic violence. So we actually can take those phones, and even if there is no plan associated with the phone, someone could use that phone to call 911 if there is an emergency. So we will sometimes give those phones out to folks who might need them in an emergency situation.
I did not know that about phones.
Yes.
That is great to know.
Yep, it's very interesting.
It is, because it makes me feel like, you know, maybe I don't have to pay my phone bill. You guys could just give me service, since, you know, it's there anyway. But that's good to know. Can you just kind of, we have like 2 minutes left, but can you just kind of talk about, you know, the awareness aspect of this and or lack thereof often? And, you know, how that affects a lot of the people you work with, and maybe how the community could get better at, you know, I guess that kind of interfering or prevention aspect that you were talking about earlier.
Yes. And I will say that, you know, I've been with my program for 11 years. So it's been really interesting, especially over the past couple years, to see the increase in national discourse and attention really on the topic of sexual assault and domestic violence. So that's been really interesting to see. But one thing I feel is that it really, while we're talking about it on a national level, it hasn't necessarily trickled down to the community level yet. So while, you know, we see it on the news, we're not necessarily kind of having those discussions day in, day out. And what we really believe is that it's up to all of us to have those conversations with our friends, our family, our coworkers, in our schools, with our kids, about supporting each other and not tolerating violent behavior. And violent behavior doesn't have to be acts of physical violence. It could be jokes that might be building blocks to that kind of violence. So if you're telling a sexist or a homophobic joke, you know, that is a building block towards maybe a larger form of violence down the road. So we want to challenge, we want to encourage people to challenge those even kind of micro, you know, aggressions that could lead to those larger forms of violence. So we have a number of programs that we use in order to accomplish that. One of them is called Mentors in Violence Prevention. And then another is an effort that we developed almost a year ago, and we're still trying to really push out in Troy, called Take a Stand Troy, where we challenge people and some of their kind of preconceived notions and beliefs. And again, this is really a community issue. It's not up to just one person or one organization. It's up to all of us.
Where can people learn more about Take a Stand Troy?
If you visit our website, which is www.sphp.com, and then you search for sexual assault and crime victims, or we also have a Facebook page that might be an easier way to reach us. That's facebook.com/SACVAP, SACVAP.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And you touched on one thing that I want to maybe get you to kind of talk about a little bit more, just about the increase on the national level,
yes,
but that not really trickling down on the community level. What do you think is maybe the reason for that, or why that is?
I think it's such a difficult topic to talk about. And so I think that even if we're seeing it on kind of the news, we may still be hesitant to have those conversations within our own kind of peer circles and family circles. So we often will actually have conversations with people about how to even broach that topic with their family or within their, you know, work environment, and really create cultures in which we say that violence is not tolerated.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Lindsay, for coming. We really appreciate you coming by. We've been trying to cover mental health and the topic all around in every aspect all month long. And so you are appreciated.